I'm excited to be here with you this evening. Last year, I was also scheduled to preach Maundy Thursday, and on this same passage, obviously, and also this same sermon. So for the past 12 months, this has gotten my full, undivided attention. So that's what I've been working on. I'm glad I finally get to share it, yeah. On Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday when Jesus was exalted during his entrance to Jerusalem. He entered the city like a triumphant king, greeted by cheering crowds and people taking off their coats to throw them down in front of him so that the animal he was riding could walk on them. He entered the city as a beloved king. The people were beginning to awaken to this kingly identity of Jesus, to see that he was worthy of being their king, something the disciples already knew. Now everyone was awaiting his coronation, his ascension to the throne. Jesus knew something that they did not. He knew that the time had come for his death, that he'd been betrayed by one of his own. He also knew that he did not need to be given the throne because the Father had already put all things into his hands. The time had come, though, for him to willingly submit to humiliation and death. John writes that Jesus, having loved his own, loved them to the end. And I think Jesus' awareness of his death, that his death was drawing near, is what led him to draw near to his friends, to his disciples. Knowing that our clock is running out, that our time is running out, is often accompanied by a deep desire to understand and to be understood by the people we love, by the people closest to us. Because I work with teenagers and I am also kind of nerdy, one of the things I enjoyed last year was watching The Mandalorian. My wife and I started a tradition that we call Friday morning cartoons, which is where we would get up early on Friday morning before work and watch this episode before we had to go to work. That way we didn't accidentally see any spoilers during the day online or anything. And if you're not familiar with this show, it's a TV show. It's a Star Wars show. It's in the Star Wars universe. It's about a bounty hunter who rescues a child from captivity and then is on a quest to return that child back to its own people, to go and find who the child belongs to. This bounty hunter wears a basically indestructible suit of armor and keeps this very strict religious warrior code, that he's supposed to always wear his helmet and always keep his face covered as like a sign that he's always ready to kind of fight, and it's like an honor thing for him. Throughout the course of the first two seasons of this show, this child and this bounty hunter develop sort of like a father-son relationship, and ultimately that's what the show ends up being about, is about fatherhood and fathers and sons. At the end, I'm going to spoil something. If you haven't seen it yet, you can plug your ears if you care about this, but at the end of season two, it comes time for the child to go and be with its own people. And so they're saying goodbye, and they've realized this. And in their final moments together, the child reaches up towards its father's face. And for the first time, the father, the bounty hunter, removes his helmet and allows his son to see him as he really is, to see the man that is underneath the helmet. For the first time, the child is able to see the face of his father, and we see, as an audience, it's a very emotional scene, that this person who's been presented throughout this show as a very tough, stoic warrior is actually very tender and is weeping and emotional. It's a very beautiful moment. You should watch it if you haven't yet. But I spoiled it, so. So I think something similar might be happening here. Jesus is the Messiah. And the disciples often assumed that that meant that he would be an indestructible warrior or that he would be a powerful ruler. They knew his name, but they had never really seen his face. Jesus spent most of his life being deeply misunderstood by most of the people around him, including those closest to him. Here, at the end, he sets aside the parables and the miracles. He doesn't give them a display of power. He doesn't teach them some hidden truth. Instead, he gives them a demonstration of his love. They get to see the heart of Jesus at work so that maybe, for once, they could finally understand him. He tells them, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. This work of foot washing is not meant to be understood in isolation, but is meant to draw our attention and help us to understand what is happening when Jesus goes to the cross." Jesus shows them and us that he is a humble king, setting aside comfort and honor, willingly lowering himself to the position of a servant. In this work, we see God humbling himself to serve his creation, to give his life and to die for the sins of the world, revealing his power by submitting to weakness, revealing his goodness by becoming sin for us, revealing his glory by submitting to humiliation. Jesus comes into the world to make the invisible God visible to us in ways that we can see, touch, hear, and understand. He comes to us through the incarnation. He comes to us through bread and wine and communion. He comes to us through the water of baptism. And he comes to us through the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through our brothers and our sisters. God comes into the world. God comes to us so that we might know him, understand his love for us, and love him in return. This love of God, though, is not just something that we receive. It's something that changes us. The reading tonight is framed by two phrases of love. At the beginning, John says that Jesus loved his own, and he loved them to the end. And then at the end, Jesus commands his own disciples, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." This whole passage is framed by these two statements of love. The demonstration of the love that Jesus has for us draws us in and transforms us to become people of love. As people who've encountered God, we are changed to become like him. Jesus was a rabbi. He was a teacher, and his disciples were his students. And disciples were expected to imitate their rabbi in everything that they did, in the way that they spoke, in the way that they dressed, the way that they ate, acted, everything. And so for his disciples, Jesus is showing them this new way. This teaching is not just a transfer of information, but is meant to be a transformation of their lives for the disciple to become like the rabbi. In washing his disciples' feet, Jesus doesn't only reveal his own nature as the Lord and as the teacher, but he also gives his disciples a vision for our own lives. He gives the command that he empowers and teaches us to keep. Jesus says to them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done." And so we come to the final question, as disciples of Jesus ourselves, how do we love one another? We love one another through joining Jesus in his humble service, through loving one another with the same love that Jesus has for us. The reality is that all of us are on limited time. And this past year has made that truth, made that reality feel much closer to home than it might most of the time for us. Life is short, most of it is outside of our control, and it is often full of pain and frustration. In the last year, you may have fallen back into old habits or addictions. You may find yourself haunted by old ghosts once more. You may have lost relationships with people that you once loved or that once loved you. You may just feel worn out with all the change and stress and uncertainty, longing for precedented times once more. You also may feel angry and maybe even afraid of how deep and powerful that well of anger is within you. You may feel far from God, unsure of what you believe, or anxious you may have lost your faith entirely. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that the other disciples, when it came down to it, would be too afraid to follow him to the end. And yet he washed their feet anyway. He loved them anyway. And so when Christ offers us his mercy, he knows exactly who we are as well. When Jesus offers his mercy to you, he knows exactly who you are as well, and he loves you. He offers us his mercy and his grace and new life to us just as we are. When we receive that kind of mercy from Jesus, it enables the impossible within us. It empowers us to embrace humility rather than always seeking more honor and recognition. It empowers us to practice mercy. It enables us to love the unworthy, to forgive those who've hurt us. It empowers us to serve others without expecting or demanding anything in return, to serve generously. Right now, we have an abundance of commentators and critics in our culture, and we are in a deep shortage of people willing to show up and serve. We've had plenty of time to enjoy comfortable seats and places of honor and recognition, and our world needs more people who have hearts like Jesus, willing to show up to do the work, being people who are willing to do what is needed in our communities, people who show up asking, how can I help? And so in this new year, and as we look to the future, I ask us to consider how we might love one another with the same love that Christ has for us. This Holy Week going into Easter Sunday, may we all see the face of God clearly. May our hearts be stirred up by the gentle mercy of Jesus, and may it transform us to be people of mercy in the world. Amen.